Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey guys, we are back for another episode of Awkward Sex in the City. Whoa, cheers from the crowd. Ah. I had a decaf coffee, if you could not tell. I don't drink coffee. Caffeine really fucks me up. But when I have a decaf coffee, it feels like real coffee because it tastes like coffee. And then I have like a placebo effect. So that's where I'm at right now, guys. Get on my level. We have one of my favorite people in the world on this podcast, and also an OG of the tour of Awkward Sex and City, Megan fucking O'Malley, who is just, I don't know, just a perfect soul, a great person. And it was just really fun shooting the shit in this pod. We go on a lot of different tangents, but at the crux of it, it is going down a memory lane of COVID in New York City, how we've all changed, especially if you lived in New York after COVID. None of us are the same people that we were, I would say, in 2019. I think I've said that before. And Megan says that as well on this podcast. It's just, it's new rules, new boundaries, and just how much work it is for those new boundaries. Therapy is work. It's very cathartic and can be very soothing and relaxing. But at the end of the day, it's a big, cold, hard look into yourself and your demons and your personal red flags, and it can be a lot of not fun. I laughed all through this episode. It's a great episode. We talk about fish. I tell you something that I'm not proud of that I did with a fish, which sounds sexual. It's not sexual at all. But after this episode, remember to rate, like, subscribe, review, share with your friends, and then go follow Megan on Instagram at Megs O'Malls, spelled M-E-G-S-O-M-A-L-L-S on Instagram and the Twitters. And then if you are in New York City, she's got two shows. She's got Only Comedy at Young Ethel every first and third Tuesday, 7 p.m. And then she's got Barely Making It in Williamsburg at the Tiny Cupboard every other Sunday at 5:30. So go check it out, guys. And I'll see you on the other side. Did you do any dating in 2020?
No.
The perfect response.
No, Natalie, everyone's gross. Everyone's so gross. How are we supposed? This is hard. It's hard dating. I did, listen, you know, when the pandemic hit, there was a lot of fun things, I think, that went through many of our heads. I should actually be more specific, us singles. Probably a lot of things were going through our head. The world might be ending. Maybe I should get one last in, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And so you go through the old Rolodex. You go through the Rolodex and you're like, who do I not detest from this list? Who am I willing to be like, okay, let's do this? And so I pulled out the card and you couldn't come in the house. Neither of us had a car. Like, I have a car now, but I didn't have a car in the beginning of the pandemic. We were making plans to meet up in the park. I was down for park sex at that point.
Oh, hell yes.
Like, the world is ending. I'm going to go have some park sex. And, but then it didn't happen because he had to flee the state because lockdown was happening.
No. Oh, shit. So you were going to do like park sex like March when it was like still cold out.
Yeah. We would have warmed up real fast. Like this was like, Times were, that was a warmer week too, though.
It was, because I remember like the week before lockdown, and it was like people were starting to get laid off. We all like
went to the park in sweatshirts. And I remember being like, I was in the sweatshirt because this girl was like, JMU. And I was like, you're a stranger. Like, don't get close to me. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? But it was like, it was eerily warm. You're right. Okay.
Well, it's always around St. Patrick's Day for some reason. It gets really warm because, you know, spring is coming. But everyone's always like, the luck of the Irish. It's like, no, that's just how the weather works. It's every year. Rose. It's every year.
Jesus wants you to black out. Like, that is what's happening. He wants you to go black out on St. Patrick's
and
Day.
And not die. You're too cold.
Exactly. Yeah, this year I think I got a drink on St. Patrick's Day after work. And was like, very cold outside.
Who cares?
I was like, okay, I'm done.
Who cares about these holidays anymore? Next, we're rewriting everything.
So he fled the state. Where did he go?
That's Pennsylvania. So not too far.
Oh yeah, but still, that's boring.
You know, we're not allowed to cross state lines, really. Like, we weren't allowed to go anywhere.
I forgot about that because, like, the first time we left, I think it was like August, and Aaron's mom drove up and then came right back down, so we didn't have to get in a car because, like, she's older and Aaron's stepdad is older, and I was like, I cannot kill your stepdad. Like, I can't kill your stepdad. And we all of a sudden, like that week before, they were like, oh, they're going to be checking license plates. And we were like, oh, shit, are we going to be able to get in slash out? Like, we really didn't know. And then they weren't checking shit. Like, no one cared. And it was, but we were told that. They were like, you can't come if you have, like, New York, blah, blah, blah. I forgot all about that. The shit I have, like, blacked out.
So much. There is so much that we're going to be unpacking for so, like, for the next 20 years. Okay, so I'm a New Yorker.
Like a real New Yorker, just for people to understand, like truly.
Yeah, like I remember in detail 9/11. That's the level of New Yorker I am. And I know that 20 years later, I'm still unpacking things from that. So us going through this pandemic, not to say that I've been through an intense trauma and still dealing with it, but at the same time, when this all started happening, I was like, You just go sit down because so much is happening. What is going? Yeah, we're in for a long haul. You know, we're going to be little old biddies in our 80s. And we're just going to be like, God damn it. Will he just shut up about the pandemic? Like, how many years ago? It's like, that was 50 years ago, bud. That was 50 years ago. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I had to, like, be in therapy weekly. There was, like, no way around it. Or I was like, I'm going to go fucking crazy. And there is still so much to unpack with going to therapy weekly. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. Because that's how you survive. It's like, you do have to, like, hunker down and just kind of, like, get those blinders to get into survival mode. Especially if you're in New York. Like, at my job, there's... it's remote, so people are, like, all over, like, Nashville and, like, Utah and Seattle. And when I first started, they were like, what was it like? And I was like, I cannot explain to you how horrifying it was, like, how traumatic it was. And I'm sorry, but you guys, like, didn't go through what we went through. Like, it just wasn't the fucking same because you're not on top
of
each other.
I'm so happy so many people didn't have to go through what we did. But, you know, it's like my noise-canceling headphones really saved my ass at one point because outside of my window, at the very height of all the protests, which, you know, I was out there when I could be, but also I was paying attention to curfew. I was like, who's coming to get me? You know, I gotta go back home. So, but I pretty much had a helicopter parked in the air outside of my bedroom to the point where I was like, oh God, I understand how, like, this is maddening. I couldn't.
I don't know what was worse. I don't know if the helicopters were worse or if the nonstop sirens were worse because they both were so bad. Oh my God. Oh my God. Did you have the bells?
The 7 o'clock?
Not the clapping, but all of a sudden for like 3 weeks, they were like, let's start ringing the bells at 3 p.m. So everyone knows we're like all in this together. And it was the most maddening sound ever, because you'd hear the sirens and then you'd hear these like ominous like church bells, because it was every church bell around you at this time, and it would go on for 10 minutes and I was like, I'm gonna kill someone, like this is the worst.
And then you got the helicopter outside your window and you're just like, what is that? I hate that I know which siren goes to which vehicle at this point, because I'm in the outside, to the listeners at home, outside of my apartment is the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, which goes, it's like in the air, and then down below you have the street level. Oh, that's fun.
I know, every time I'm in that area I go look into your apartment. if I'm on 278.
Yes, you should, everybody. It's so much fun. So you're like right across the street. That's funny. I'm in the lane for the fire department, the police department, and I'm in an ambulance. Like, I got a hospital down the road. So yeah.
Well, this is a fun walk down COVID lane.
In between all the sirens, all I could do is just stare out the window at a tree that is across the street. Actually, two trees. There's one that's a little bit smaller and one that's bigger. The bigger one looked better for climbing, but I don't have the tools to go do it. But I did want to climb both of the trees because there's a plastic bag in both of them. And it's still there. It's still in there. And I'm like, how do I get these plastic bags out of the tree? And at one point, my mom was like, Megan, don't climb the tree. And I was like, I'm not going to climb the tree. But she's like, no, seriously, don't climb the tree. And I'm like, okay, you know me. But I was like, okay, I'm not going to do it. But if I was going to do it, I would need like a big, like one of those like leather belts for the tree. So I could like, I would have to scooch up because it would be a while until I could get to a branch. I thought this all through, Natalie. I thought how I was going to climb the tree.
I'm just picturing you like the characters in Mulan in Make a Man Out of You song, where they're going up to get the little, that's all I can picture now.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you just got to climb a tree, and that's we got to save the earth. But also at the same time, I don't want to be the person in a neighborhood that's climbing the tree and getting the cops called on her. So we're like, why is she climbing the tree? It's just like, I know you guys got other things to do. That's really funny that I thought the cops would show up for me being in a tree.
What's that app that's like person arrested for throwing loaves of bread at person?
Citizen.
Like you'd end up in Citizen, like person arrested for climbing tree. I mean, but that could happen. Like, people are weird. They call the cops on the weirdest shit.
Apparently on Citizen on the Upper West Side during the summer, somebody was reported for throwing a boulder at cars. But it could, Citizen is also, sometimes it's a little boy that yelled wolf. And my friend that lives up there was like, it was probably like a rock, like a tiny little pebble, not a boulder. And I was just imagining a giant on the Upper West Side, just like, just down. That's
Okay. So 2020 sucked. How has 2021 been for you?
2021. Okay. So in general, 2021 has been very great. Dating. Not happening. I signed back up to Tinder. I'm putting myself back out there, but also I understand I'm not the same person, Natalie.
None of us are.
I can't date the way that I used to, which to some of the listeners wasn't really dating. It was just sleeping around. So I can't do that anymore because people are gross. And now it's like, oh, fuck. I want to be respected.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I want to respect the person as well. So that means I'm probably not going to be going for the usual idiots. Sorry to anybody from my past. The Rolodex has been closed and burnt. I can't take any of you guys out, but you do know you're a little dumb. Very sweet on the eyes. Very sweet on the eyes. A little dumb.
No, but that's good, though. Like, we've all done that. We've all, like, have had people inside of us that were like, I don't respect you. I just don't. Or you've been inside someone that you're like, I don't respect you, but you're hot and the sex is good. And like, I think we've all been there. That's okay to admit.
It makes it easy to walk away when you got a busy life.
But to know now that, to know like what you want now, or more so now, like that's awesome. And I know more and more people that are like getting married from having met on Tinder. Like I do think there are more people on Tinder, more so. There's still like a lot of shit people and like dudes holding fish, but there's more people wanting like the same thing of like, I would like to want to be with you and fuck you and respect you.
Yeah.
Your face is like,
well,
no.
There's more honesty on there. So at least you can get to, you can figure it out faster. A lot of people in open relationships, a lot of people who are very honest about it, and it's healthy. There's so many different ways to like put it, and I have to Google while I'm on Tinder, and I don't like doing the homework, you know. It's just like, this is too much research to get a date. So
do you remember any terms that you were like, what is this? Let me Google this.
No, I can't. It's like football. You could explain football to me, as many people have tried. But for some reason, when you start saying it to me, my brain, it closes, like whatever part of my brain that still is obtaining information shuts down when the rules of football are explained. Now, that's kind of what's happening with all these phrases too, because I'm just like, nope, if you got a phrase, you're not for me. That's it. It's real simple, but thank you so much for telling me whatever the phrase is that explains the situation.
I think that's fair. Same thing happens in my brain when someone tries to explain the difference between a co-op and a condo to me. I just shut down. I don't want to know. I don't want to remember.
It sounds like a co-op is more annoying.
Yeah. More rules.
Yeah.
More rules.
I don't like rules. I don't like rules.
There's a board. No. You can't tell me what to do with my house that I paid for.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I've done to this apartment, and I can tell you I have not asked. So we went the safer route. We did not ask. And when I say we, I mean me. It's all me. I came up with one yesterday. Somebody was like, well, what are you looking for on here? And I did came up with the phrase, which I said, I think I was making it up as I was saying it. Casual committed is what I would like.
Casual committed. Okay. Yeah,
which sounds to me, if sounds self-explanatory.
It sounds also a little bit like an oxymoron, right? Like, because to be committed, it's not casual.
But I don't get, I'm a busy, but I'm a busy lady.
You are busy. And I think that's one of the hardest parts. And one of the hardest things to learn when you are in a relationship and you want to perform and be creative, it's like, you do have to have those type of boundaries of like, I'm going to need these days to myself. And it's really hard, not just because they don't understand, they do understand, but it's also, you'll be like, but I'd rather be watching Succession with you than performing right now, even though I love to perform. Like, you'll be like, oh, I want to, you want to do both. But you have to have like that, maybe it's like the discipline. Because for a couple of years, I was like, did not have the discipline of like creative and personal, like at all. And it was like a clusterfuck a little bit. So I think that's fair and very smart to be like, I am a performer. I will need this to be committed, but casual.
Yeah. I don't want you to go around fucking everybody else.
Yeah. I think to do it can't be another performer.
Or it could.
Like, I think if you to do casual committed.
You know, here's a, it's, you know, we think we know the rules. And then we don't. We don't know anything. We just went through a pandemic. Remember, the world was about to end. It was closing down. That was it. This was go home. We don't know what to do. Just everybody go home. And now the world didn't end.
So, now we're here. Yeah.
So I decided that I don't care anymore. Nothing makes sense.
How was the person? What was the person's response when you were like, I want casually committed?
He then said, I did make that up.
All right. I like it. He pushed back. I like
that.
Yeah. This.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
This.
He pushed back, but then he got a little, sorry, getting a little weird and sexual already too fast. And it was like, I just said casual. I didn't say describe stuff to me.
It's always the worst. I mean, I haven't been on Tinder or dating apps in forever, but it was always the worst when you thought they seemed normal, and then all of a sudden they like send a dick pic, and you're like, where did I go wrong in that conversation? I thought we were having a normal conversation.
Well, then I could just unmatch. I was like, oh, this is nice. Unmatch. I didn't like what he said. I'm just going to unmatch. Why? Because I can. And it doesn't matter.
none of it matters. Yeah. You'll never see him.
I really doubt that I will. And if I did, I got a feeling ain't going to remember me.
Or you're not going to remember him.
That is also, I'll be like, how do I know you? What high school did you go to?
All right. So this is, again, you've got boundaries. You've got more of an idea of what you want.
Right. So I'm doing, I feel like everything just now works out. I love how, so Tim Burton and Helen, God, I always panic when I'm about to say her last name. Bonama Carter?
I want to say that's it, or very close, right?
I think everyone knows I such high respect for her. She's got a long name.
She does. It's very long.
HBC and Tim Burton, they're married, and they had two townhouses right next to each other while they were married because both needed to have their space when they were doing their creative work. And that, I was like, that is actually my dream scenario. can we just have two?
Yeah.
Two things? Like I would even love if we had two apartments in the same building. But we have space that we can go. Like, we sleep in the same one at night, but one's more like the office, but we can see you put it out.
Yeah. I need my alone time so much. I need so much alone time. And not even just like alone time to do personal or creative shit. It's just alone time to fuck around. Like, I need to know I can go fuck around and not be responsible for someone else's entertainment's not the right word. Just not be responsible for anything. Just like, I'm not here to make plans or like, what do you want to watch on TV? It's like, I want to masturbate and watch reruns of Laguna Beach that I've seen 1,000 times for 2 hours. And that's it. And then maybe I'll send some emails for like a show I'm producing. That's it. Like, I just need to know. Or I'll go fucking crazy. Like, I'll go insane and become a monster to my partner.
Everyone needs their alone time. And I think we can normalize that, since we're normalizing so many things, Natalie. I feel like normalize it's like in 2020, we were all like, oh, you're on your journey. You know, this is just part of the journey, part of the process. And then this year we're all like, no, we got to normalize this and normalize that. So, journey to normalize. Okay, folks, this is 2022's coming up. Pick what you're going to torture me with.
I can't believe it's right around the corner. It's fucking November. Yeah. How is it November? I have no concept of time anymore. It
still seems so weird seeing 2021. I'm like, what? What? How? What? It's like, it feels like it's supposed to be later for some reason, but you know, it's like 2021 seems like the past.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean though. Cause it feels like it was so far away though, or so long ago, even though like we're still in it.
So much has happened.
Yeah.
I can't, like, we've gone from an insurrection to the new president being signed in to, like, we're still talking about coal now. And then you just, I can't keep up. I just would really like the reality show of the White House to just get canceled. Can we not? I don't like this show. I don't like it. I like it when everyone just did their job. And but now they all have to have a personality too, apparently. It's like, actually, I don't think that all my senators need to be relatable. I think they just need to do the job.
Yeah, I like a bitch that gets the job done.
Yeah.
I love a bitch that gets us some student loans forgiven and some paid paternity, family leave. Yeah. Just give us anything.
Yeah. I would love, we protect the environment. Stop with all this fracking and the coal. But, you know, if wishes were fishes, Natalie, if wishes were fishes, that's a weird phrase. I never understood that phrase. It's like football. You could try to explain it to me. I'm going to be like, I don't, what, because there's a lot of fishes? And then if there were a lot of wishes, then it just wouldn't matter. That's just kind of like mean to the fishes.
Yeah,
really.
Sure.
It's like we're downplaying. Like fish, don't. There was a dumb documentary this year I watched about the fishing industry. I did learn a lot. It was definitely, I shouldn't call it dumb. I did learn a lot. It was just from a kid that you knew he came from money. But this is what he was doing with it, which he was doing something good, you know, but also at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, you are in such danger right now and you're going to be fine because you are a rich white boy. But at the same time, thank you for letting me know the dangers that are going on. So I am having problem eating fish now because I watched a documentary. I feel bad.
Yeah, those fish farms. How old were you when you realized how big a tuna was? I thought they were little tiny guys. Little tiny guys. They're like hundreds of pounds.
I don't know. when I learned about how big a tuna fish really is. But you know, it's,
remember I told you this podcast just goes wherever.
Nah, I like it. The thing is that you did give me license, and that really is having a conversation with me is starting with one topic and we're going to go through 20 and you're going to be like, well, I was recently, not to be like I do podcasts all the time, but I was on another podcast. I was on a 2-week minimum with Selena Kopak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Her Great Candle podcast.
Yeah. And but at certain points, she was like, okay, we got to get back to candles. And I was like, yeah. And after she's like, sorry if I was like having to, I was like, no, you got to wrestle me. You got to. If you don't, I will run free. And you might not get.
You can't be tamed. You're a wild stallion.
Yeah. This is why I work great with the syllabus. You know, like that was. I love back to school time, only to get the syllabus because I was like, well, now I know what to expect. What's up with this kid?
Yeah, if only there was a syllabus in adult life. Of like, this is what's going to happen next and this year, and then this we're going to talk about in that year.
Maybe we can, since we're organized with kids. Why can't we continue it? Or is it just too much work?
Normalize the syllabi.
You do have to normalize it. I'm going to go back to fish for a second. But then the other thing about the fish, it's not just that they're illegally fishing. It's also affecting smaller, poor communities in like third world nations. Like we are screwing over. Because that's why it's important not to know who is actually catching your fish. Guys, you got to go to the farmer's market. It's not just in New York. I'm actually like, that's what is always surprises me when I leave New York and I see farmer's markets. And then I'm like, idiot. Of course they have farmer's markets other places. Like you're not just because you live in New York and you have everything doesn't mean that other people don't have. Of course they're going to have a farmer's market. But then that's where you can get your fish.
I have gotten fish at the farmer's market. It's not that much more expensive either. Though we have a fish store. Like, yeah, and it's great. I love them. Except some days, like one day I got like a pound of scallops and she was like $56. And I was like, wow. I'm sorry, what? Like this was like $30 last week.
Were they divers?
I don't remember. But what I love about them is like sometimes I'll go in and be like, oh, specifically scallops. I'll be like, do you have any scallops? And they're like, no, it was too windy last week. So we couldn't get them. And it's like so cute that you're like, oh, you know why? Like this is the reason. But going off of fish and documentaries, did you watch, oh my God, what was it called? My Octopus Friend?
No.
You have to watch that today.
Okay, I'm gonna write that down.
You will love it. The guy kind of sucks, like the guy himself, but then you're like, you'll love it. I can't eat octopus anymore.
Yeah, you know, when I think about some of the fish, I'm like, I didn't eat fish that much. So I think it'll just maybe be picking and choosing actually what is the fish in our area. Like eating food that's in season, eating the fish that's in your waters. Guys, I'm going to save the planet. That's it. I'm doing it. I don't have time for love, but the planet, I got that.
You're doing God's work, Megan. God's work.
Yeah.
I want to know more about fish too, because I remember being taught forever that like fish can't feel, like physically feel pain. And I don't think that's true. I think we just can't equate it because they're fish. And I always think about this one time, because I love to fish. I used to fish my dad all the time. And back in their old house, there was this like little mini creek. I went with my friends and I took the wrong hooks, like the wrong size hooks. They're way too big. And long story short, this poor like trout bit onto, this is a terrible story and I'm a terrible person, bit onto the hook. So I caught him and the hook was so big, it went straight through his eye. And I am a catch and release type of person. So to release, I had to pull out his eye and I released him back into the water. And there's no way, like there's no way this fish made it. Like how?
He could have.
And there's no way he didn't feel that. I took out his fucking eye. Like it was, and it was me and two other girls and they're like screaming their heads off. And I was like, why did I do this? Like, why did I bring them fishing with me? Like, it was such a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then I have never forgotten that day of like, just like letting this fish back into the water and blood just like coming out of this like eye socket. And I was like, he has to feel this. He has to feel this. There's no way he can't feel this.
This is really stuck with you. How old are you?
I was 18.
18.
Okay. I was older. So I should have known better. I was being lazy when I couldn't find the right hook.
Hey, but also it's kind of good. There's a positive. I'll find the positive. Don't worry. The positive is that at an 18-year-old, you felt remorse for what you did to that trout. Mm. This has actually stuck with you. So now, if any of the listeners at home were like, Natalie Wall, a sociopath? The answer is no. The answer is no. You're not a sociopath. You passed the test. You know, humans really do suck.
Humans do suck. That reminds me of, my mom told me about a friend that she had that would put frogs into bleach and just like watch them die. Isn't that horrible? That's so fucked up. I love this episode already. People are going to be like, what is happening to them too? But this is why I love talking to you. No, like, no, it's no. Always so easy to talk to you.
Yeah, they're going to be like, wow, is this episode about sex? Oh, right. She has not had sex in a really long time. I don't even know what it is anymore, Natalie. Natalie, I do have, so I told you about the park. But there yes. was another attempt. there was okay. with another one from the Rolodex. Again, the Rolodex has now been burned. I am not bringing back any repeats. This would really be the reason why. So again, we're not letting people into the houses yet. You can't go in the house. You crazy? But he had a car, so we went into his car. And we were hooking up in the car. Ooh, late at night. And how fun. And then, and he's telling me all the sweet things, like that. He gets tested and he loves his nephews and nieces. So he's safe. And then I was like, ooh, do you have a condom? And he was like, no. And I was like, and I just like had to get right off of him. And I was like, come on, man. Like, I'm not ready to be a single mom. What are you trying to do to me? Like, this is...
What was his excuse? There's always a fucking excuse. They always have an excuse.
He just didn't have it. You know, at this point, thinking mm-hmm. that we weren't going to need it was a little ridiculous, because we've been down this road before. It's like, pandemic. But what did you think was going to happen? Did you think I changed? Did you think that I don't care about safety anymore and not having a child to care for. Cats, great. Love cats.
And there was also like a little, children. There was also like a literal article that came out that was like, oh, hey guys, we found COVID and come. We don't know if it can be sexually transmitted, but it might.
Yeah. So that didn't happen. But then we did try one more time. A few months later, then he was allowed into my apartment. But that was it. That didn't work either. That time we had condoms, but also he had cocaine. So bye-bye.
Oh, so he had the cocaine penis.
Yeah. And you know, I'm pretty chill. Like, I'm not going to tell you what to do and what not to do, but I'm also very adamant about how I hate cocaine and what it does to people and how I've seen lives destroyed in front of me from working 17 years in the service industry in New York, you know, like out in the Hamptons, Long Island, in New York City. You know, I've seen a lot go down. Now, a lot of people will argue with me that I have done it. And I'm like, I have not done it. I don't know why everyone, like, I have energy. You want me to be a pothead, you know, you're welcome, everybody. This is a lot. Yeah, the only time I did was when I was making out with somebody who was also doing cocaine that knew that I didn't like it, and he had put it on his gums, and then I was like, come on, now my gums are all numb. I don't like this.
Oh, that's fact, Ed, that he did that.
Yeah, I didn't sign up for your drug, and then he understood after that. He was very, very understanding why we would not be seeing each other anymore.
Oh my God. Sometimes people and their blurred lines of what is okay to do, and just the idea that someone's like, oh yeah, they can do a little, you know, get a little coke residue. That's fine.
Yeah.
They'll have a good time. No, like you've been very clear. That's not your jam.
Yeah. Like, like not for me. You can do it. But if it's somebody that you're trying to like go out with, maybe don't do it while they're there. And I also love it when they're like, hey, do you mind if I go to do coke with my friends? It's like, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
What you can't do is ask me for permission because you're an adult. So if men are looking for somebody to tell them what to do, I certainly will, but I won't be happy about it.
You're like, I'm not here to be your mom.
No. But I do appreciate you coming to me for the answer, you know? It's a catch-22. It really is. I would say this is another, this is like my casual committed. It's an oxymoron. Am I an I might be an oxymoron. Maybe I am.
Yeah, I don't think you are.
Okay.
I do find the term casually committed oxymoron-esque of like, these are two opposites. Put together.
Should I say I'm a creative? No, if I say I'm a creative, it just sounds like I'm an asshole. I'm a creative. I'm looking for casual committed. They'd be like, fuck you. But also, you would know exactly who I am.
That sounds like you just want to have sex on the road. Like, casually committed, like, I have someone that I live with, but on the road, I'm a fuck anyone.
Yeah.
And we're cool with it. It's open.
I got me a man in every city.
Creative is a hard word, though, because like I do find myself saying it more and more just because it feels like it encompasses more of what I do. But I feel like a dick every time I say it.
Yeah.
There's no way around the dickness of it.
Yeah.
I'm a creative. No, it's just like I don't want to be like I produce, perform, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, I just do a lot of creative things that I like to do.
Yeah.
But still sound like a dick.
Just a multi-hyphen walking around this creative world, baby.
Oh, so true.
So now the Rolodex is clear.
Yeah, so now you're just kind of in, like, you're in, like, the hard part now. Like, you know what you want. You've burned the Rolodex. You're like, I'm not going back to that. That didn't work out for me. So now it's the part where you have to be like just constantly trying new people to see if they fit this new criteria. And majority of them will not. And that's like the most frustrating part. Because you're like, no, now I know what I want. And now it's like, oh, why does everyone else suck? Why cannot everyone else get like on my level? This is the hardest part. But this is like, once you get through this part, It's fucking great.
I could throw another nail onto the race course of course course track of love. I hate saying sober, but I haven't had a drink since the beginning of this year. So, but I don't, how long is this going to last? I don't know. You know, it's just, it's nice for now. And so I'm doing it. But when you tell people you don't drink as well, that's another fun start, which I'm like, how do I avoid this? Because I'm doing this for me and my health reasons. You know, it's like I've had two concussions. I've also 17 years working in service industry. There's a lot of things that I would just like to make sure I'm fine from all those years of fun. But when you tell people, then they start to get into their head. You know, and it's no longer like, because this is about me. This, and it's a selfish, but selfish can be good. You know, like this is about me and taking care of me. But when I tell other people, they make it about themselves. And
yeah, they start projecting.
Yeah, yeah. And then you start to see, like I always want to be like, I don't need to know how you feel about, I'm not judging. You guys can get wasted around me. That is fine. But at the same time, this is now going to bring me to down that cocaine route again, because I'll say, they'll be like, hey, I'm going to go out. It's like, yeah, go out. Just don't come to my bed wasted, because I'm not dealing with that whiskey dick. Okay,
no, whiskey dick sucks.
But have a few drinks, sure, go right ahead. Just don't black out.
No, I definitely have. I'm not like you're saying it. I'm like I have like a few friend or couple friends that like one drinks, one doesn't, and it's just like not a thing. It's just not a thing.
It doesn't have to be a thing. It's a thing when you make it a thing. And I'm not making a thing, but other people will make it a thing. And I've just found that to be kind of fascinating, that I'm like, you know what? This is kind of something, like, I'm saying it on a podcast right now, but at the same time, this is also something about me that's like, I don't have to walk into a room and tell everybody. Like, I can go in the room and just go grab a club soda and have a conversation with somebody, and it's going to be fine. You just have to have a drink in your hand. It could just be water. People just feel uncomfortable if like your hands are empty.
They're like, what's Megan gonna do with those two fucking hands? What's she gonna do?
Put a drink of something in her hand. And so, yeah. And I love club soda, so that's great.
Biggest, or I don't know if it's like the hardest lesson or the biggest lesson, is learning how much people project onto you and learning how much you project onto other people.
Yeah.
Like anytime you're like, it's your own shit. It's always your own shit. If you're when you project on someone else or when someone's projecting onto you, it's their / your own shit. And it's the hardest thing to, not forgive, but like to be patient about, because it's also like, we can't treat someone like shit just because you're dealing with, this reminds you of your mom and like your family issues or something. Like it's so, it all comes back to like fucking boundaries of like, what am I okay with? What is okay in this situation? And it's not fun, but it is like the only way to get to a very happy and content life. Like, yeah. I don't know if that's like douchey to say.
No, but it's true. There's so many truthful things that you just said, because it's like, I have actually caught myself now. Like because like we all do it. We all do it. It's very natural. It's very human to project your feelings when you, because it's your reaction to something, you know? And so now I catch myself a little bit. Like when I hear something, it's like there's multiple people coming out of offices and they're just in the hallway. They're like, wait. We're just here to listen. We're just here to listen. Okay, guys. All right. We're not putting out a press release about how we feel about this topic, because it's not about you. It becomes, you are allowed to then explain, you know, like how, like you can project once somebody says, how do you feel about this? You know, it's like when a friend comes to you with a problem, like they're coming to you with a problem, you know, they want you to listen because they're your friend. But like, how many times do people get preachy? Like, you know, which friend you're not going to go to because you know who's going to get preachy. And it's just like, I didn't ask for you to get preachy. What I asked for you was to listen and to to help me based on who I am and how I'm living my life. And everything I'm saying is easier said than done, Natalie. Easier.
Oh, like you were saying that, and I was like, oh, I'm the preachy friend. Like, I get so fucking preachy. I get on a high horse all the time, constantly working on it in therapy. My therapist says, because I'm like ridiculously self-aware. She's like, you're self-aware in a way that most people aren't. And so it's like this gift and a curse that you can be so aware of your own shit, but then you see it in other ways and you're trying to like, you think you're helping other people, but really they don't, that's not what they fucking want to hear. And it's like, oh, oh, okay. But it's like, cool. It's a mind fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at us. We're growing.
Look at us. I know, like, think of how far we've come since, like, what was it, 2013, 2014 when this tour started? Because Megan's an OG.
I am an OG. We had fun, and we had good times.
Yeah, it was a blast, but it was also like, I did not know how to communicate what I needed when we were like on tour sometimes, or like vice versa, and being in a group of like four or five people of like what that's like. But it was a fucking blast at the same time, for sure.
We learned a lot. We sure did. Man, I didn't, you know, it's like the way that I also left the tour in my, like, I look back on that now and how I'm able to, like, listen to myself and also, like, to be able to say what my needs are. Because, dear listeners, my way of exiting the show was having a panic attack at the Bolt bus. I just missed the bus and I was going to get on the next one. And then the panic started kicking in. And I went and I got a cup of coffee and I sat on the High Line looking over at Jersey. And I was like, wow, never been so relaxed looking at Jersey in my entire life. And that's when I was like, you gotta go home. You're not going to DC, kiddo.
It is time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I also realized, like, you know, it's like comedians and performers, like, it is therapeutic what we do, but it isn't therapy. And mm-hmm. that's where it's important for us as artists, as creatives, to remember that, because so many people, and I see it especially, like, you know, under that pandemic we're talking about, it's going to be hitting us. People are using the stage as their therapy, and it's like, you got to go talk to somebody too, or mm-hmm. journal. Like, you can do this on your own. You don't have to, like, some people can be disciplined. Like, I'm pretty disciplined right now, but I'm even aware, like, I've told myself, you could do this on your own. But if you have to go talk to somebody, you have to know you have to go talk to somebody. So it's like, it's there as an option. That was my light of being like, you got to go talk to somebody. Because you're talking about your stories on stage. But guess what, kiddo? There are some deeper things underneath that laughter.
Your body never lies. Your body will always tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And same, like, a couple of years ago, I had, at my worst, I had daily panic attacks, daily anxiety attacks. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And you don't realize how far you are away from yourself and your normal, like, mental health and well-being until you're feeling physical symptoms. There's that, it's not the same, but that book that's like, the body keeps score, like, the body keeps score and the body does not lie. And it's just like, you have to deal with that. You can't hide from it and you can't run away from it, because the more you run away from those actual physical feelings, and it usually is a lot of like not setting boundaries, not saying no, trying to do too much, trying to keep too many people happy and things like that too. Like, I think that's a big part of it when you start to get to that like level of like anxiety and panic attacks and loss of like, loss of control of your body is not right, but just like loss of your body, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's like control. Has been definitely something that I've thought about a lot over the past few years. It's like, and having control and losing control and like that feeling of losing control, but it's like, but what is the control, you know? Mm-hmm. And then dear listener, you go deeper into that. What is control? And then you have a control button from a keyboard that was going to get thrown out, and you're like, wow, this is the universe telling me I have control. And then during the pandemic, you go, I'm going to throw this out, because this is actually holding me, and I'm holding on to my control because that's my issue. But guess what? That doesn't have to be my issue. It's like we were saying before. It doesn't have to actually. It doesn't have to be a thing. It doesn't have to be a thing. And everything that I'm saying is also a lot of work bled into me just going, oh, actually, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. But you're right. Yeah, it is a lot of work and getting there. But then once you get there, that's fucking awesome. And I think the more that people talk about stuff like that, too, of the work that it took to get to that spot.
Yeah.
It's really important.
And then you can successfully get on stage again and talk about your sex life without being like, ah, I'm going to have insomnia tonight.
Well, I also hope you know it was totally okay for you to leave too. Like,
oh yeah, no. Yeah. I never felt any hard feelings.
Okay, good.
So
good.
If you had hard feelings, wow, this is gonna come out now, huh?
Like, fuck you, bitch. No, I've always been so honored who's come on tour with me and given like a part of their life, a part of their time to do it. That it's just been really, really cool to see like people go on and do things that are more aligned with what they want to do ultimately. Like Awkward Sex is like my ultimate, but it's not everyone else's, and that's totally fine. Like Anita decided to leave in 2020 because pandemic and just new responsibilities and things like that. And she was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, but you have been with me for like 4 years. Like that's the greatest gift you could have ever given me. Like I'll never be upset that you left. Like you came, you got stuck in traffic and fucking Bolt buses that smelled like blue. Like we were hungover, exhausted, doing sometimes shows for like four people. Like I can never thank you enough. And I mean that for everyone that's ever done the tour. Like I will never be able to thank everyone enough that's done it. It's so sweet. And of course, everyone's going to move on and grow to what they want to do.
Hey, and thank you. Thank you for all of that. I mean, you did teach us, well, I'll speak for myself. You know, everybody else is geniuses and they knew it as soon as, no, just kidding. But you taught us a lot of also how to run shows.
Aww.
So that's cool. We all got something out of it.
We all got something out of it.
Besides success and fame.
So soon. I know now it's all the list coming out. Fall's like all on the list. It's and you're so just fun. Like, ugh.
You know, I look at those lists differently now. So, guys, I'm a different person. I look at it and I'm like, who do I know? Because if I know people on the list, I'm doing something right.
Right.
That's it. Then I'm like, ah, that. And, you know, last week, I won't say who, but I saw on Twitter because the lists were coming out and somebody was like, oh, great. Now we can know who can afford a publicist. And I was like, that is so funny. And also, wow, you're bitter.
Yeah.
Hey. You need a hug? You need a hug? Maybe just put some money aside. Go get a publicist. This is how the game works.
Yeah.
As we all learn, as we continue to stick around, we're like, actually, that is a good thing.
And I will say, like, I have put money towards a publicist before. Not at the moment, but for the podcast, for the tour, like, it's... sometimes investing in that really helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's part of, and like you said, it's part of it. You got to push through and you got to put some money aside to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Or like me, have put it on your credit card and just be like, this is just creative debt. That's fine.
That is smart. Smart, Natalie. Another lesson. Put it on the credit card. Writing that down.
And then just... get a credit card that doesn't have interest, and then once interest pops in, put it on another credit card.
Hold on. Are you telling me to start an LLC, get a credit card for my business, so then I can use that to pay for the PR that's going to bring me success, so then I can pay off the credit card? Oh, yeah. Damn! Oh, okay, I think we just really cracked a nut open, and you know what? It's delicious.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So we have been doing about an hour, and around here is when I'm like, is there anything you want to talk about that we didn't talk about? And there's no wrong answer. And the answer can also be like, nah, I feel good.
Okay. You know what? Here's a fun fact I learned today.
Oh, hells yeah.
Not that I'm trying to maybe clean up my mouth, but maybe I'm trying to curse a little bit less. So I've been saying holy smokes. Jazzed has been coming out of my mouth. And then also, you know, in the holy sense, holy Toledo, I was like, holy Toledo, how is that a phrase? Holy Toledo, you know, it's like they said it, Sophia used to say it on the Golden Girls. And I was like, where did that come from? Because, you know, like holy smokes, without looking it up, it kind of, in my mind, I feel like it's like the smoke that comes out of the Vatican when they pick a new pope. You know, it's like there's holy smoke. That could be wrong, you know, but there's something. But holy Toledo, I can't think of anything. But so it turns out it was a sanctuary city for gangsters in like the 20s and 30s. So I guess no, maybe 30s, 40s, because they're bootlegging. And so the cops were like, listen, just go to Toledo. Toledo is where... We're all just going to mind our business in Toledo. Nobody gets in trouble. We just go live our lives. So they started saying holy Toledo because it was a safe haven.
I had no fucking clue.
What? Now.
Look at that.
Did I just look up an article that's lying to me? I hope not. I hope not. But there's a possibility. But if they did, that's a believable story. And that's what I need. I need it to be a believable story if it's going to become now the truth.
It sounds very believable to me.
Right?
That was literally like a storyline on The Wire. They called it Hamsterdam. And it was like this part of Baltimore that they were like, we're just going to look the other way. Yeah. Like, I feel like this is a thing. I will be Googling this too later.
Yeah.
But I think this is real. I think this is a real thing.
Holy Toledo.
Oh my God. This has been a great fucking episode.
I had so much fun.
I can't wait to have you back. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, I am so sorry that I let a fish back into the water that I took his fucking eye out, y'all. I will never forget that. I'll never forget that day and fish feel. I stand by that. That's my new hashtag fish feel. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, review, share. Go follow Megan at Megs O'Malls, M-E-G-S-O-M-A-L-L-S. And then go check her out at Young Ethel's for her show Only Comedy, the first and third Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then Barely Making It at the Tiny Cupboard every other Sunday at 5:30. And I will see you guys next week. Okay, bye.